from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What the NBA record is for most points in a quarter, you just watched it. George Gervin at 33 and a quarter. And Klay Thompson has 50 and 37 in a quarter. Klay Thompson, I'm going to repeat that, 37 in a quarter.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what would. 37 points in one quarter. Klay Thompson all the way back on January 23rd, 2015. That, of course, was Fitz and JB. Bob Fitzgerald and Jim Barnett back in the day doing a great job, and that was Klay. 37 points in the third quarter against the Sacramento Kings. It was an NBA record at the time. It still is an NBA record. Most points ever scored by a single player in a single NBA quarter belongs to Klay Thompson. 37 points in the third quarter against the Kings way back in January of 2015. Welcome back to Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy and Jason Dumas in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley as always here on 95.7 The Game. And we're reacting to the news that Klay Thompson is leaving the Golden State Warriors and signing a 3-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. The trade is not officially official and finalized just yet because it is a 3-team trade between the Warriors, the Mavericks, and the Hornets. The return to the Warriors is unknown and not locked down as of yet, but the deal itself is not in any jeopardy. Klay Thompson will be a Dallas Maverick in his 13-year run, the last 12 of which have been with the Big Three, Steph, Klay, and Draymond. That run is over, and we are reminiscing on Klay Thompson. If you have memories of Klay, things you remember, moments you remember, like that 37-point quarter, we want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Xfinity mobile text line. But guys, Dibs and Jason, I wanted to focus a little bit here on how we got to this point with Klay, where he was willing to turn down reportedly more money. from the Lakers, but also from the Warriors to play with the Dallas Mavericks. And Jason, I know you're very plugged in all this stuff, and we've talked about it a little bit already. I wanted to first hear from Anthony Slater, who was on the TK show, Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, part of our Odyssey family here as well, and Warriors insider Anthony Slater talking about how we got to this moment, why Clay felt the need to leave, despite potentially the Warriors offering him more money. Here's Anthony Slater.
It became clear that like the market didn't really matter. The money didn't necessarily matter. Like he was unhappy enough last season, and he was kind of jilted enough by management's lack of communication and lack of what I think his side felt was like a genuineness to their desire to have him as like a core member foundationally into the future. Not that they weren't willing to have a contract offer now or didn't have a contract offer, you know, obviously, you know, extension time in the preseason, but wasn't a lot of warmth to the way they operated with Klay Thompson.
And it's become relatively clear that that was what was most important to Clay. Maybe it wasn't, you know, $20-plus million a year. Maybe it wasn't 3 years or 4 years, but it was just feeling that warmth and feeling loved and feeling supported and feeling respected. And whether the Warriors did so knowingly, they kind of pushed him away because he wasn't part of their plan A this offseason.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And like I said before, Klay Thompson is a prideful guy. And he wanted to feel that love. He wanted to feel appreciated, and he just simply didn't, you know? Whether that was Golden State's intention or not is kind of irrelevant at this point, especially to Clay, but he just didn't feel that love. And, you know, it just goes back to kind of the theme of the last couple of years where it was just like they're trying to find this happy medium of how they can please Clay and keep him happy while also making the best moves for the organization from a basketball standpoint. And that's a fine line. It was a fine line. It was hard to find that balance. And, you know, a lot of walking on eggshells, a lot of sugarcoating stuff. And it's interesting because Anthony Slater, who covers this team better than anybody, he used an interesting phrase. He said that there wasn't a genuineness to the negotiations from Clay's side, that he didn't feel like it was genuine and what they wanted. But when you look at the Warriors' side, I mean, they'll probably tell you, like, we're trying to walk this fine line where we want to respect you and what you've accomplished, but we also have to do what's right for us. So how do you say that, really, to somebody, given all the history and context? Like,
there's no way to say that without upsetting Clay.
Exactly. So it was a lose-lose. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, yeah, well, what kind of genuineness do you want, Clay? They could be straight up with you. You're still going to be pissed at that answer.
Right. Maybe right. It was outwardly, you know, at every opportunity, Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy and everyone said, yeah, of course we want Clay back. Desperately, exactly. We want Clay back. But then behind closed doors, like, no, we have no contract offer at all.
Exactly.
No, so you desperately want him back, but you want him back at a number that is comfortable for what you're still trying to do. And you also want him back after you go through everything else, after you try to get Paul George or Lauri Markkanen or Brandon Ingram or whoever else you're trying to get. Yeah, Clay, if you wouldn't mind waiting until July 7th or 8th, of course we want you back. And if you're Clay and you turned down 2 years and $48 million back last October, and now the contract that you're getting from the Warriors, even if there was one, is maybe half of that, or, you know, the market's telling you that you're not $24 million a year anymore. The market told you that you were $15 to $17 or $18 million a year, and that hurts. And your own team is the one kind of telling you, yeah, we're going to go with the market on this one. And based on what we're trying to do, we're trying to get a big fish in here, Clay, and you're not that anymore.
So the question to me then becomes, as you were talking about, Jason, whether or not this is purposeful by the Warriors. Was this a miscalculation? Did they miscalculate Clay's feelings? Did they feel like it was legitimately going to be an option for them to go back to Clay and he was going to be waiting and willing to come back? Or was everything that they have done leading up to this, and I'm going all the way back to, you know, last offseason, offering only 2 years when you just gave Draymond 4 years, the offseason, that the same offseason, was it when Steve Kerr decided to bench Clay Thompson in the year Was this all part of the plan, knowing that it might be enough to push Clay away and this might be the end? Or did they miscalculate? Did they actually really want Clay back, assuming Paul George wasn't going to happen? And then they realized, our actions upset him enough that he doesn't want anything to do with us anymore. Was this a miscalculation, or was this something the Warriors felt like was probably going to happen anyway?
I'm not sure it was a miscalculation. I think as it pertains to the Paul George stuff, I think they just felt like they were comfortable with the risk reward scenario. They were comfortable with losing Clay for at a chance for Paul George. I think
they would rather take the chance of potentially not having both versus only signing Clay and not having a chance at all at Paul George.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think kind of look how it went down. I think they're probably smart enough to know that, maybe not to this degree, but they were probably smart enough to know that Clay wouldn't love the fact that he wasn't priority number one for them this offseason. So I think they probably have enough wherewithal to know that, but they did it anyway. So that just tells us right now they probably thought it was worth it. And if we're just strictly talking basketball, it probably was worth it. Obviously, hindsight's 2020, and they struck out, so it's just the optics aren't great. But if they had a legitimate, if they thought they had a legitimate chance at Paul George, I think you have to go for it. I think he was probably one of like few players on the market who they could acquire that would actually move the needle. Clay, bringing Clay back, it would kind of just keep you where you are. And mm-hmm. we saw yeah. where they were. I mean, they ended up, what, 10 seed? If yep. Draymond doesn't get suspended and he plays a full season, they're probably closer to like a 6 seed. But still, they're probably not coming out the West.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I mean, they want to win championships. So you got to take that chance. You have to.
I think the fallback of D'Anthony Melton on a one-year deal is probably more tenable for them than Klay Thompson for 3 years anyway. If you're looking at a fallback, put aside the fact that Klay is a splash brother and 13 years in the organization, all the rest of it, just the business part of it, to have D'Anthony Melton for 1 year, a guy who is, as Grandy and I were talking in the green room before the show, a better defender, better rebounder, not the same shooter, younger player, maybe the potential to be healthier and be as productive as Klay Thompson. Well, you don't have to do 3 years of Klay. You do 1 year for Melton. And I think from that standpoint, it becomes a more, you know, manageable, and we talked a lot about optionality. That's their big word. Having 1 year of Melton is much more optional than having Klay Thompson for three more years.
100%. And look, I mean, I think Klay Thompson is a better player than D'Anthony Melton. Make no mistake about it. That's not the argument in Dibs. I don't think that's right. what you're saying either. But yeah, I mean, they're looking at their future. Joe Lacob wanted to get under that tax line. That was important to him. If he wasn't going to be under that tax line, it wasn't going to be to overpay Klay Thompson. Like, that's not an opinion. Just look at how this played out and listen to everything he's told us over the last year and some change. It's played out exactly how he said. So that's what I'm basing this opinion on. Now, when it comes to D'Anthony Melton, like, here's one thing that I think, in my opinion, needs to be said. And everybody's saying, well, you offered Draymond 4 years, $100 million, and Klay only got two. I think I can objectively say, and I think both of you guys would agree with me, Draymond has been a better player than Klay Thompson in the past 2 years. I think he got that deal because he's
certainly been this last year. Klay was pretty darn good leading into that postseason against the Kings and the Lakers. I mean, that January, February was like the best 2 month stretch of his career almost.
100%. 100%.
This most recent year, I agree 100%.
I don't know if it's overwhelming, but I think it's fair to say Draymond got that deal because he has been better. And you know what I mean? So, like, I don't even think it's egregious that Dre got 4 years and Klay got two. Now, I know
his contract was also just up first. Like, if Klay's contract is up first, maybe Klay signs and they make the same decision with Draymond. You never know.
Yeah, 100%. I just, like, the whole pitting Klay's contract against Klay's contract offer against the one Draymond signed, I think is a bit disingenuous. I do. I just think Draymond has been more important to their success from that point on when he signed that contract to now. That's probably why he was offered more. So, it's going to be interesting when we hear from guys like Draymond, when we hear from Klay in his introductory press conference.
It's going to be painful, right?
I don't think Klay is going to take any shots. I don't. I think he will have the wherewithal to not.
He hasn't shied away from calling people out on the podium before, though.
He definitely hasn't. He definitely haven't. This feels a little different, though. And unless he didn't have great conversations with Draymond, Steph, and Steve Kerr on the way out, which I would think all three of those guys who I just mentioned are mature enough to, no matter how kind of nasty it might have gotten between him and the front office, can be PC at the very least. I don't think he'll come out and say anything.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We're going to hear a little bit more from Anthony Slater on the TK Show coming up, talking about how we got to this moment with Klay, where he's willing to take less to leave the Golden State Warriors. But first, I wanted to let everyone know that all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Again, all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, River Islands in Lathrop. All right, more Anthony Slater here on the TK Show, part of the Odyssey family. That's Tim Kawakami's show, talking about why Klay got to this point, why he decided to walk away, and reportedly left a little bit of money on the table. Here's Slater.
One of the things that made me more sure he was leaving through this process was, I do think from the Warrior side, where they miscalculated was, Joe Lacob, really, the Lacobs, when they did this with the Andre Iguodala, the businessman Andre Iguodala, it was that like CEO versus, businessman type negotiations. And really with Draymond Green last time too, where it was leveraged plays and each side was kind of playing this game of chicken and, who would blink first, how much money could the player get out of the team, all that. I was told on the Klay side, like, that's not how he plays. Once you make your leverage play and hardball him, he just says bye. And I know even when I put out the story that, like, hey, this is going in a really bad direction, I think people were like, oh, this is Klay trying to make the Warriors up their offer. And it was like, no, like, he's just decided it's over. Yeah. He's not trying to play this game. He's looking for a new home. And, the truth is, two steps back, I think we can both understand why the Warriors would not want to pay him a certain amount of money and prioritize other stuff. But it snowballed to this moment where Klay Thompson is just walking away.
That's why I ask if this was a miscalculation by the Warriors. And maybe you think that he's just not a fit on this team, not good enough on this team anymore, and then the Warriors won't really miss him on the basketball court itself. And I think you can make that case and you can be fair, but the way Slater lays it out, they were trying to play hardball with him as if they wanted still to have him back, but they just maybe didn't quite understand how he'd react emotionally. And he reacted differently than Iguodala reacted, than Draymond reacted. They were both willing to play ball. And like, no, no. Don't lowball me. We're going to fight and negotiate and work this out. They lowball Clay, and then Clay's like, okay, deuces. I'll see you later.
Well, I think that they probably knew how he'd react, and he obviously didn't react so negatively that he didn't agree to a sign-and-trade, because if it is a sign-and-trade, which is what everyone's reporting, then that at least shows some sense of Clay saying...
Helps him get a little bit more money, though.
Exactly, but it also helps the team be able to get, you know, what they want in return, because he could have gone to the Lakers and signed a four-year deal and gotten, you know, close to the same money that he got in Dallas, but he chose to, you know, do the organization a solid and at least let them do a sign and trade. So I think the organization knew what they were doing. And look, if you miss on Paul George and you miss on any other big trade in the offseason, you're kind of resigned to the reality of what you're going to do, which is it's going to be a year of, man, I hope Kuminga gets better, and I hope Pods gets better, and I hope our young guys get better, and then maybe we can, with a healthy Draymond, maybe we can be a sixth seed and, you know, go on a run. I think without a big swing in free agency and without a big swing in the trade market, you are resigned to basically what you are, which is a team that's not good enough right now.
Yeah, they... With the roster as currently constructed, and we're assuming there's no more big moves to be made. Hopefully there is, you know, for the Warriors' sake. But as currently constructed, you're really relying on Pajemski, Moody, and Kuminga taking right. that next step. We kind of know what Wiggins is at this point. Obviously, we know what Steph is, still a really good player. Draymond, like, those are known commodities. It's Pajemski, Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis, too. To a smaller degree, and Moody and Pajemski and Kuminga. Those are the three probably on the roster who have the most upside right now, you know, who can improve the most. Everybody else is pretty known.
But I find it hard to believe that the Warriors at this point, after missing out on Paul George, that they would not be interested in bringing Clay back. I pretty obvious they still want him on their team. I mean, you look at the roster right now, and there's a ton of time for them to make other moves, and we can get into that in a little bit. The spacing on the offensive end of the floor is going to be absolutely atrocious. There's going to be no space for Steph to get off a shot, very little, and there's going to be very little room for, say, Kuminga to drive and slosh to the hoop, because you got no shooters other than Steph that defenses have to respect. That's what, even when Clay wasn't maybe hitting at a 42% clip,
he still
from deep,
had gravity.
Exactly. Maybe not to the extent that Steph did, but while he's shooting, maybe he's in a game where he's 2 for 8. Clay is from downtown, it's not as if defenders are sagging off of Clay. They're still hovering out him a deep three-point line, opening everything else up inside. So there's no doubt in my mind the Warriors still actually desperately wanted him back. And while I think maybe it was a bit of a miscalculation, because they made a couple of bets. They bet, one, that they had a legit chance to get Paul George, and it was legit. It seemed like it was pretty close.
Right.
Ultimately, did not work. They missed on that bet. They bet that the market for Clay wasn't going to be as strong as Clay thought. They were right on that one.
They were right.
And then their third bet was they could go back to Clay after they missed on Paul George, and he'd be waiting for them.
And he said
he was
nope.
not waiting for
right.
them.
He said nope. Like,
it's July 1st, and he already is a Dallas Maverick. So,
yeah,
he signed
like 20 hours into free agency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but according to Anthony Slater's reporting, which is A1 all the time, he stepped away from this a couple days ago. He knew it. He said, I'm done. I'm not playing this game with you guys.
I mean, they had reportedly said their goodbyes to some members of the front office a couple of days ago.
Yeah. There you have it. There you have it. So that begs the question that I bring to both of y'all. I'm not asking you guys if you think Clay has a right to do this. Of course, Clay can do whatever he wants. It's his life, his prerogative. He knows how he feels better than anybody. My question is, do you think Clay was right for doing that? Do you think the Warriors deserved more of a chance to circle back towards him, given their history? Because what Anthony said was that they were surprised that he was so like, no, this is it. Like, that one offer you give me, I'm done. They're not going back and forth with you guys. I'm just going to go see what else is out there. Do you think, like, the Warriors deserve? Because as much as Clay did for the Warriors,
right?
Don't get me wrong, I think the Warriors did pretty well by him, too, over the last 13 years. They put him in positions to succeed. They supported him through two major injuries. And he's going to have a statue. Like, I don't think they treated him poorly by any means. Maybe Clay might have disagreed over the last 3 years. But my long-winded question is, do you think the Warriors deserved a little better from Clay's side?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because, I mean, it's just EPMD, strictly business. And yeah, you get to that point where...
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, they offered him 2 and 48 back in October, and he said no. And then the market now is not 2 and 48 for Clay, and it's not 3 and 72. The market is 3 and 50. And so if the Warriors came back lower than that, that's just the business, and they're trying to get below that second apron. And now they're going to be, as Mark said, they're going to be hard capped at the first apron. So Joe Lacob told us months ago that job one was get out of this financial turmoil, mm-hmm. and they're doing that. So I don't think that they owed Clay anything. And if Clay, you know, gets into the process and he doesn't want to play the back and forth game, he doesn't owe them anything. And really, they only, to me, they only paid him for 1 year of rehab. That second year was just a bad break. And the fact that it's a, you know, guaranteed contract, if he was an NFL player, they would have cut him after the first one. They probably wouldn't have even given him the first contract, right, coming off an ACL. But in the NBA, he had the ACL, and you figured, oh, he'll be fine. It's 9 months, the ACL, 6 to 9 months. He'll be back, and then the Achilles happened. And so that's just bad. That's a bad break for the Golden State Warriors to have that happen. But I don't think that he owes them anything, and they don't owe him a sweetheart contract either. It's just the way that this one played out.
Yeah, I think the way I'll put it is you look at the Warriors situation entering this offseason, I don't really know what other option they had to deal with Clay other than the way that they did. But it's kind of like the perfect storm. The type of person Clay is, you're talking about his emotions. He's an emotional person, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's part of the reason why we love Clay, because he's so steadfast in his love for the game and how good he wants to be. It's part of what makes Clay Clay. But considering the situation they found themselves in, up against, you know, luxury tax and salary cap hell, I don't know how else you go about it. But as I put myself in Clay's shoes, I can also understand him being really pissed off. Clay gets, or Draymond gets, 4 years and $100 million. You're going to look at me in the face and only offer me two, and then play out a whole season where, okay, maybe I wasn't great, but it's not like I was a detriment to the team every single night. And you're not even going to offer me anything at that point until you swing and miss with somebody else who hasn't ever won anything in the postseason, and now you're going to come over to me and try to lowball me again? Like, if I'm Clay, I can totally understand his frustration and why maybe he feels like emotionally, mentally, it's best for him to just get the hell out of here. But I can also see from the Warriors side, maybe put aside the decisions that got them into this mess, but once they got into this mess entering this offseason, I don't really know what else they could have done.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it just reminds us this is a business. The Warriors felt like they did what is best for them, and Clay feels like he did what is best for him. And, you know, if he felt like he should have got a contract offer online with Draymond, I disagree. But that's his prerogative. He can feel however he feels. And, you know, now he goes to Dallas, and it'll be interesting to see that fit on the court, Clay and the Mavericks. I personally don't love it.
Oh, I don't either.
Which I feel like we're in the minority. A lot of people
I like it.
Of people love the matchup. I love the fit.
One other than Luka and Kyrie could score in the finals. They need someone else to sit out there and hit a couple of shots.
Right, sit out there. You're asking him to just sit out there, because Luka Doncic, as much as he is a good passer, he's not a willing passer. And, you know, Kyrie Irving, I think you're dealing with two really ball dominant players, and Clay is used to being in an offense where it's ball movement, it's player movement. You get things called for you. I don't think that they're going to see him as anything other than a third option. I think Clay is going to get relegated into J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver mode.
Yeah, we'll see. We can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Got to hit a quick break. When we come back, more on Clay, your favorite memories. Lucky and Zach, I see you guys on hold. We'll get to you coming up in just a little bit. 888-957-9570. More coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs, Mark Randy, Jason Dumas, alongside Dan Dibley. More next on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. Challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.